Last week, we talked about how Samuel was rejected by God. We also hear about this. Actually, Samuel first rejected God. It was not the other way around. He became disobedient. He became arrogant because he was the king. And therefore, he rejected God, and so God rejected him. So Samuel took this very personally, and the first verse states that Samuel mourned for this. Obviously, he was sad. So God asked him, "How long wilt thou mourn?" This happened to us when we are in difficulties, when we face difficulties, when things, even in the church or anywhere else in the company or where you work or in your family, you take things so personally. But God told Samuel, in short, in today's language, move on. We have gone through many setbacks, like Samuel. He went through setbacks. So during that setback, he now mourns and think about, wow, have I failed? Have I done wrong? This happens to us all the time too. See, when we went through or we go through some difficult times, we think of, wow, in the past was good. If I had not done this, if I had done this, it would be better. But God says, move on. Look at the Jews when they came out of Egypt. God promised them a great land of milk and honey. What did they do? They cried. They looked back. Oh, we missed the good settings in Egypt. We missed the leeks. We missed a good life in Egypt. But what were they in Egypt? They were mere slaves. Now they are free. But they look back. They moan. They talk of how they would have been better if they were staying in Egypt. So they mourn, they look back, and this happens to us as well, that many people will look back, and because they keep on backtracking, some people even remember 30 years ago, if I had gone this, if I had done this, I would be better today. I would be not in this position today. But things are past. You cannot do anything but to move on. So God told Samuel to move on. Just carry on. So God asked him, how long will you mourn? As Christians, we look forward. Because if you keep looking backwards, those are the things that you cannot do. There are things that you cannot achieve anything because already in the past, you cannot turn the pages back. So people get into depression, get into rejection, and soon they blame God, and soon they turn away from the faith, and soon they backslide, and soon they say, I don't want to go to church, I don't want to pray, I don't want to look to God, because in the past was so good. Now they begin to shift the blame to the others, instead of looking at themselves. But the Christian principle has always been and will always be, look to God, look forward. God will paint the path for you again. God will lead you. Do not blame, do not look behind, but look towards God. And God will lead you through. Then, this is the first verse that we read in 1 Samuel 16. Why, how long would thou mourn? How long? How long? just move on, like we today, just move on. And now, next, God tells him, tell Samuel, go look for this person to be a new king. Who is this king? Who is this new person? Samuel doesn't know. At that time, Samuel didn't know who this person was. But God says, you go, and I will give you the indication, tell you who this person is. But what was Samuel's excuse? His excuse was, hey, God, please understand me. If Saul knows that I am going to anoint a new king, he will kill me. I dare not go. Again, it's a reflection of ourselves. What does the Bible say? Go witness, go baptize, go tell the good news, tell the gospel to as many. And what do? Many of us, including myself, sometimes we feel so afraid because of rejection, because of persecution, because people will not accept the gospel. Herein lies the problem with us. When we are told to preach the gospel, people who reject the gospel, people who reject the preaching of God's word, God says there is a reason why people reject. Why? Because the world is not a friend of God. God came, sent Jesus to come, and for that good news, asked us to spread the good news about salvation through Jesus Christ, pointing at man's sin. But man finds it extremely difficult to acknowledge that they have sinned. And so they reject the gospel. In rejecting the gospel, they are not rejecting the preacher. They are not rejecting you. They are not rejecting me. For preaching the gospel is the reason that they reject me. So they're not rejecting me or you, but they're rejecting the gospel. If you had gone to tell them other things, wow, this is a nice holiday place, this Bali, Hawaii, whichever place is a good place, nobody will reject you. Why? Because it's the news that they reject. So they're not rejecting you, but they're rejecting the gospel. Again, we come back to this part. Samuel was thinking that Saul would kill him for doing God's work. God does not send us to be killed. Of course, there are some missionaries who were killed because they preached the gospel of Christ, but God has a different purpose. God does not send us to do risky job. So Samuel went to ordain this person. And when he went to the house of Jesse, Jesse gave, of course, the first one, the first son, second son, third son, seven more sons. No, they were not the people whom God had chosen. Samuel told Jesse, these are not the people. First, you remember how Saul was selected? Because the people look at him, wow, he is tall, he is good looking. He is the one who should be the king. So when Samuel went to see Jesse, Jesse showed, of course, eldest son, good looking, tall, good, but God says, no, these are not the ones. And God directed Samuel to look for the one whom he has selected. And reluctantly, thinking that this is a very unlikely choice, because this is a very young, boyish person, David, a shepherd. But God told Samuel, this is the person I chose to be the king. Why does God choose a person? For what reason? Today, people ask, what was the reason that God chose the Israelites, the Jews? In Deuteronomy chapter 7, God gave the answer. I chose the Israelites, the Jews, not because they're good looking, not because they're many, not because they're smart, not because they're clever, not because they're the brave ones. Then, what was the reason? Because they were few in number. So, why didn't God choose the fewest in number? God says, by grace, which brings us to what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 on predestination. So God has chosen the Jews. He predestined that they will be chosen. Today, even many Christians, even people from this very church, Christians, ask Elder Fung, why does God choose the Jews? They're so wicked. Today, they're killing so many Palestinians. I am not for war. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying the war is good. We pray for peace. We pray for gospel to be done. But do you think for a minute that the war went on with God turning a blind eye, not knowing, just by mistake or by calculation, human beings do what they want, killing a lot of people? I can tell you one thing for sure. Every life that is killed, every happening, every bomb, every shot that is fired from the rifle is known by God. He allows it. Why did He allow it? Don't challenge God. There are many people, even today, ask, why? Why does the war care? Why do they kill children? Why do they kill so many people? Well, I can go on and on how the news are slanted, what are fakes, what are real, but I'm not going to dwell on this today. But the thing is, you don't agree with God. It's God's plan. It's right or it's wrong. It's not for us to comment. What are we supposed to do? We help when we can. We pray for peace. That's correct. We pray that the war will stop. The killings will stop. But it is not for us to say, what can you do? You protest in the street. What can this bring to the war? You carry on banners. You carry on flags. March in the street. Write in the article. There's nothing that you can do. The only thing that we can do is to pray and ask God to reveal His plan to stop the killing, to stop the war, so that peace may come. But why did war start? God never wanted a war. But look, who did the first killing? God did not strike anybody dead. From the beginning, it was man who killed man. It was Cain who killed Abel. Even when Adam and Eve sinned, God did not kill them. So the first killing was a man killing a man. I mean the person, a man's death, the first man to die was killed by another man. Because man has sinned, fallen into this desperate state. But by God's grace, Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, that God has chosen us from the beginning. I'll read for you Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He had made us accepted in the Beloved. So, we have been chosen before the foundation of the world. Meaning, whatever your name, George, David, Timothy, John, Julie, Maggie, whatever your name, put that name in and say, God, why have you chosen me, your name? Why? You don't question so much because it is you. And you just rejoice because God says He predestined you to be saved. You rejoice. You be glad. You are grateful. Because there are some people who have been listening to the gospel for years, they never came to Christ at the end of their life. There are some people whom we think have not been predestined to be Christians. We pray, we witness. For my mother-in-law, we prayed for 35 years. Finally, she came to Christ. So, when you talk about predestination, God knows who is safe and who will not be. Is that fair? To be fair, none of us should be selected. None. Zero. So why does He choose us? He says He chose us in verse 5 out of good pleasure of His will. Simply that. Not because you are better, not because you are obedient, not because you are who you are better than the rest. But God chose you out of His good pleasure. Reason only known to Him, out of grace. What is grace? Grace is granted to us. A grace granted to us. Just it. Don't need to find out. And some people went to preach, talk, and after a long time, this person does not come to Christ. He said, maybe he is predestined not to be saved. Whether a person is predestined to be saved or not to be saved has nothing to do with us. It is not your business. It is not my business to find out. God doesn't reveal to us this person is saved. Go, look for him. He is predestined. This one is predestined. Go, look for him. Preach the gospel to him. Preach the gospel to her. Because this person is predestined to be saved. No, he doesn't do that. God does not reveal to us, and it's not our business to find out, and it's not our business to guess who is predestined or who is not. Just be grateful, because when God chooses us to be saved, we are grateful, we are thankful, and reflect upon it. If God has not chosen you, you will never understand the gospel. For 2 years, I did a research on what is this that Jesus died for me and I have eternal life. I could not understand. I really have no idea, no clue. I prayed as a non-Christian that God revealed to me. For 2 years, I could not understand. But one day, it becomes so clear. Then, it dawned on me, how is it that there's such a simple principle and I don't understand? So it is not our business. Our job is to preach. And when you are grateful that you are predestined to be saved, you will serve God because you are grateful. Because God chose you out of grace. So we serve God out of love. Because He loves us, therefore He grants His grace to us. Because He chose to save us, therefore we are filled with joy and gratitude to serve Him, not because of fear. Not because of some other teachings, which I shall not quote, that if you don't do this, you will not get this. If you don't do this, you will not do that. You will not get this. Especially today, they talk of richness in terms of monetary gain. If you don't do this, you are not going to be rich. You are not going to be blessed with money. So, they serve because of ulterior motive. We serve God only with the motive of gratitude and joy. Here it comes back that when you are filled with joy, when you know that you are predestined to be saved, and God allows you to hear the gospel and be saved, so why question about why God chose the Jews? Why God chose the Israelites? It's not for us to question. Well, how many of them will be saved? I don't know. Whether they are saved in the end, yes, they will. How many of them? I don't know. Because God says, only those He predestined will be saved. Are all the Jews saved today? No, they are not. Many of them are not. But that does not mean that we cannot witness to them. Of course, it is difficult because you have a tough time if you witness to the people in the Israel. Here, let everyone know that it is not our job. Therefore, when Samuel was asked to ordain the king, God did not reveal to him, okay, you go to the house of Jesse, look for this boy called David, anoint him as the king. No, he didn't know. That's why he had to go through the first one. He had to go through the second one. He had to go to 7 before they show him David. And when David was presented before Samuel, Samuel knew right away that this was the person whom God has chosen. Why did God choose David? It is out of grace. And David once chosen, not because he was big, not because he was tall, because he had been trained as a shepherd. No, we don't know. But we only know one thing. God chose David. The same principle he applies to us. Out of grace. David did nothing. But God, out of grace, chose David. You see, here is that portion about predestination, including that of David, including that of ours. So David was grateful. He was a man after God's heart, the Bible says, because God knew that he would be a good king. So David, from a shepherd boy, went to the royal court. He was very skillful in harp, and very talented person with a lot of gifts. So David, from a shepherd boy in the field, went to the royal court to become the king. We, you and I, from the dumpster, from an ordinary person, a heathen, destined to go to hell, has been picked up by God to understand the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is that we all have sinned. There's no way that we can redeem our sin on our own. Just like David, on his own, he would not be able to go to the royal court. On our own, we will never be able to go to heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ died for us, and his sins and our sins laid upon him. And if we trust in the Lord Jesus, we would be able to go to heaven. So from a nobody, David went to the royal court and became the king. From a nobody, thank God that all Christians have been to the royal court. David became the king. We become the child of the King of Kings. Here is a parallel comparison. How David went from being a shepherd boy to become the king. We, from the dumpster, from condemnation to hell, now is a child of the King of Kings. And we are going to a place better than this royal court, because this royal court is in heaven. We are going to heaven, transformed as it were. David transformed from the land of the sheep to the palace. We from the land of the dumpsters to heaven. All by God's grace. And God, when he predestined David to be the king, he asked Samuel to go to ordain, to anoint this person. God 100% fulfilled His plan. God did not fail because Samuel was so afraid when he was asked to go to ordain the king. He was sore. He was very afraid. So afraid, the Bible says. Because King Saul may be after his life. But God says, no, you go, you will succeed because God asked him to go. God's plan will be carried out. God never fails. If God has predestined a person to hear of the gospel, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, God's plan will never fail. You have read, you have heard many testimonies. Even so many that you find that it seems difficult to comprehend. Last year, after I preached here, I went to Sri Lanka and did a groundbreaking of a new church. This was formerly a chicken farm, actually. And that place that we used for worship was the warehouse for chicken feed. The whole chicken farm was very big. So we used that. We rented that place to use as a sanctuary. And when I was there, I did the groundbreaking. We employed the local contractor who was not of the Christian faith. So when he built the church, he kept asking, where are you going to put the statue? Where are you going to put this? Where are you going to put? Because he came from a place, his own religion have many statues in the temple. So when he built the church, he was thinking, how is it? This is just a plain church with a place to preach, with a place for people to sit. Hey, it's different, he said. So in the midst of building the new church, he came to this sanctuary which was used as in the chicken farm as a chicken feed storeroom where they kept all the corns and whatever for the chicken feed. He went there and worshipped. Hey, he said, it's different. I don't have to do a lot of things. There's nothing to pierce me. I don't need to roll on the floor. We work with people in Sri Lanka who have different perspective of religion that we know. So he said, hey, it's different. Let me listen. He went, he worshipped once, twice, three times, four times. By the time that the church that he built was completed, he accepted Christ. Is it predestined? Yes. Do we know that he will be a Christian? We don't know. He became a Christian. He built the church. Finally, the church was built, and he asked his wife, his children, to come to worship here because it's different. So when you look back, where God has chosen this person, by all means, he will come. She will come. We do not know. Our job would be to preach. That was what the pastor of the church that he built, Pastor Ravi, all he did was to preach and witness to this man and tell him and explain to him why a church is so plain. So from this, you realize that this man, like us, was from a condemned eternal life with no eternal life to a life of eternity. This is a simple illustration of predestination. Again, don't question me, I cannot give you the answer. Why is certain people predestined and why some are not? Why God chose you? Why God chose me? I have only one suggestion. Forget about this, but thank God that He has chosen you. He has chosen me. Be grateful. Be thankful. As David was after God's heart, because he was thankful, he was grateful that he went to the royal court to be trained. He did not become the king right away, like in the case of Saul. He went there, went through a lot of hardship, and eventually he became a good king. And yet, at the end, he was so grateful. We will continue our preaching from the book of 1 Samuel and learn life lessons. God willing, I'll preach here twice before I go home. But as God has spoken to me, I now speak to you that this from the Word of God, nothing magical, solely God's grace. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that by your grace we have been saved. By your grace, thou hast called us and given us eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us, who died for us, that those who trust in Him have eternal life. Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. Teach us, Father, to remember this, that Thou hast strictly chosen us out of Thy grace. We cannot explain, but we are grateful and we are joyful because Thou hast chosen us. Thank you once again in Jesus' precious name. Amen.